Shalom, today's daf yomi is Tanis daf Tesvav, Tanis 15. In today's daf, we're going to begin the second chapter, which is titled Seder Tanios Ketzad, the order of the fast. How did it happen? And in this chapter, the Gemara is going to discuss the seven final fasts that they decreed for when the rain stopped. And it's also going to discuss three main topics. It's going to clarify the order of the prayers of these final seven fasts and how the sages would give rebuke during these days and prior to the fasting in order to awaken them in repentance. Second topic it would discuss is who's obligated to fast, even though in these latter fasts, even though they weren't obligated in the former fast. And third, it's going to discuss those days where it's not appropriate to establish a fast day. So the first Mishnah of this chapter is very long. We're not going to be able to finish the Mishnah, but we'll start this Mishnah. Seder Tanios Ketzad. What is the order of these final seven fasts that they fasted for rain? How was it done? So the Talmud says, the Mishnah says, Motzien Esateva, they would take out the holy ark that the Torah scroll is written in. And what would they do? They would take it out to Rechova Shalir. They would take it out into the street. Because in the fast day, as we say, that as it says in Gemara Megillah, they would pray in the middle of the street. And so therefore, everybody would go out to the street and pray with the Torah scroll on the ark. V'nosin Efer Mikla. They would take the ashes of something that was burnt, and they would place them, Al Gabe Ateva, they would place them on the ark. The Rambam records, and also this is recorded in the Tur Shulchan Aruch, that they would actually place the Efer Agabe Ateva Agabe Sefer Torah. They would not only place it on the Ark, but they would also place it on the Torah scroll. And the Kesef Mishnah, as the Beis Yosef, is shocked because he says, where does the Rambam get this idea that they would place the ashes on the Torah scroll itself? And some say the Rambam doesn't mean that you place it on the Torah scroll, but you place it on the ark where there's a Torah scroll. But the literal reading of the Rambam is that you place the ashes on the Torah scroll itself. And where else do you place it? You place it Barosh HaNasi or Barosh HaBezdin. You place it on the head of the Nasi. The Nasi was the president of the community. And you also place it on the Rosh HaBezdin, on the head of the court, you place it on the head of the court, in the place where he puts his tefillin. It's clear from the Mishnah that other people place the ashes on the head of the Nasi and the head of the court, and everyone else from the rest of the people also places it on his head. So So the Gemara is going to clarify on the base why the Nasi and the Abezin don't put it on themselves like everybody else does. As it says in the Mishnah, everybody else puts it on their head. So then they bring up an elder before they start to pray as part of their fast day. An elder comes up before them. An elder from them comes up and says words of his iris, words to awaken the heart. It's called Kavushim. What's the origin of this word? Basically, it could come from basically the idea of cleaning, like a cleansing that we're doing. The Gemara also is going to clarify in Daftez Zayin, who is this elder? That ideally the elder should be somebody who's a chacham, who's a scholar. But if there's nobody who's an elder who's a chacham, then a chacham should speak even though he's not an elder. And so why does the Mishnah say just a zakin? So the Meiri says, yeah, when it says zakin, when it says elder, it really means a scholar. Meaning to say, what's a zakin? It refers to zeh shekana chachma. A zakin is one who has acquired wisdom. And what does he say to them? What does this zakin say? He says to them, Achenu, my brothers, lo nemar banshi nive. What's the paradigm of repentance? The paradigm of repentance are the people of Nineveh. Jonah comes to them and says four words, od arbaim yom. Five words, Oda Arbaim Yom, and Nineveh Nepechas, of another 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. And what does he do? After Jonah rebukes him, the people all repent. And it says that they accepted their repentance and they changed their ways. But he says, it doesn't say by the people of Nineveh, which talks about the repentance that they did, that they changed their ways. It doesn't say, Vayaro Kim Esakom Estanisam. Yeah, they fasted. But it doesn't say that God saw their sackcloths and their fast. That's not what it says about the people of Nineveh. What does it say about the people of Nineveh? It says that God saw their actions, that they turned away from an evil, from their evil ways, meaning to say the sackcloths and the fasts, they don't help to really nullify the decree. What helps to nullify the decree? Only if a person repents with a tshuva shlema, with a complete repentance. Because even though the people of Nineveh wore sackcloths and fasts, the text doesn't say anything about that at all. The text doesn't say that God was impressed with their fasts or with their sackcloths. So we see from here that the main part of the matter that caused them to nullify their decrees is not the external factor, like the sackcloths and the fast, but rather it's the determination of a person's heart to change their ways and to repent from their ways. Meaning to say, the whole purpose of the sackcloth and the fast is just to remind somebody to be in distress for the sins that they've committed and to repent from their ways. But it's not in itself the end. It's just a means to help us accomplish the end. And therefore, the elder continues and he rebukes them. And it says, it says in the book of Yoel, he says, tear your hearts, not your clothes, and repent to Hashem your God. Meaning to say, the main aspect of repentance is the tearing of the heart and not the tearing of the garments.